Meet Joe Investor. He's always on the wrong side of the market. Last year, Joe Investor was shorting stocks when he should have been long. And the year before that, he was parked in cash when he should have been invested in bonds. Are you always on the wrong side of the market just like Joe? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you to succeed. Join today and get a $100 gift by using promo code JOE100. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started and promise yourself to never ever be on the wrong side of the market.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Greed is back. Greed is back, and stock market fear is tapering. Will it continue? The stock market's wild mood swings from fear to greed and greed and fear and back. But now it's on greed. We're going to get into that. Also coming up, $17.41 trillion in U.S. debt. And just like the stock market, U.S. debt is at all-time highs, at record levels. We're also talking about the financial markets with our program guest, Chad Carnes. He'll be coming up. In the third segment, we'll be talking about not just the technical patterns of the market, but we'll also be talking about some history and the VIX. The VIX, which is an indication of fear in the stock market. It's interesting, and I've pointed this out many times on the program, that although U.S. stocks have been hitting all-time highs, we have not had a corresponding low in the VIX. I want to get into what the significance is of that. And so Chad Carnes over at ETFGuide.com, my colleague, will be joining us. He runs a technical forecast, which is updated biweekly. He does a fantastic job. And if you'd like to join us to talk about any particular stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, or the economy, 877-711-5611 is the number. Give us your first name along with your city, and we will get to you. So the bull market, which began on March 9th of 2009, has reached its five-year celebration or five-year point or five-year anniversary, whatever you want to call it. And we've seen a tremendous run since stocks bottomed on March 9th of 2009. NASDAQ Composite Index is up 242%. The Russell 2000, which is a small cap index, up 251%. And it's been a tremendous run for the U.S. stock market. And in general, stocks have done outstanding with the help of the Federal Reserve behind it. Now, some of the best performing sectors since the bottom 5 years ago, well, the top two, consumer discretionary stocks, XLY, up 324% over the past 5 years. And some of the companies within the consumer discretionary sector, like Walt Disney, have been star performers. XLY is the ticker symbol for consumer discretionary stocks. That's the ETF that tracks it, XLY. And Walt Disney, among the best performing stocks, biggest gainers since March 9th of 2009. If you had put $10,000 in Walt Disney back then, it would have grown to $57,123. And another company that did even better than Walt Disney at the bottom was American Express, which is part of the financial sector. XLF, which is another one that has performed incredibly since the bottom, up 259% and outperformed the S&P 500. American Express, if you would have put $10,000 in American Express on March 9th, 2009, at the very bottom, it would have grown to $95,974. Nevertheless, this particular bull market, as I've pointed out to you many times, is suspect in so many ways. And it does not, in terms of strength, match previous bull markets. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are really red flags for this particular bull market. Of course, Margin debt at all-time highs is a warning sign. A lack of trading volume is another warning sign. The VIX not hitting all-time lows is another warning sign. I mean, there are so many warning signs. Those are just a couple. And coming up a little bit later, my program guest Chad Carnes and I are going to talk about them. Strategist Sam Stovall over at S&P Capital IQ, he points out that when past bull markets reach their fifth anniversary, as the current one has currently reached, they historically have averaged another 26% gain if they survived at least for another year. So, will that be the case with this particular bull market? Will that be the case? 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. How's your investment portfolio doing so far this year? And have you even taken a look at your portfolio? One of the things that we do on the program as a benchmark or yardstick of performance is we look at performance in terms of how it matches up against major stock and bond benchmarks or indexes. That's your point of reference. Your point of reference is not my neighbor's doing well, or I think I'm doing well, or my spouse says I'm doing well, or I feel like I'm doing well, or my financial advisor says I'm doing well. That's not the yardstick of performance. The yardstick of performance is numbers. How does your investment portfolio look? How is it performing relative to the broader market indexes? And I've just given you here the past 5 years of this bull market. S&P 500 has gained handsomely. If you would have invested, again, $10,000 in the S&P 500 at the very bottom, it should have tripled is what the numbers are. So how has your investment portfolio done? Now, I know that you're probably not 100% invested in stocks. Nobody should be 100% invested in stocks. But nevertheless, that's your point of reference. How is your portfolio performing relative to major benchmarks like the S&P 500, as well as other broader indexes such as international as well as emerging market indexes? 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're here. Stock market greed is picking up. And this is comes to us from CNN Money. The latest figures on stock market greed, and they've got this fear and greed index, over the past month, in just 1 month, greed has quintupled. Did I say that right? Quintupled? Yeah, quintupled. That means it's five times greater today than it was a month ago. So that's the fear and greed index, which is now around 80. A month ago, it was around 15. So the stock market's wild mood swings, we've seen this, where the public's fear of missing out now, the public's fear of missing out on potential stock gains is greater than its fear of losing money. So in a span of just 1 month, we've had extreme fear near 15. That's been replaced by extreme confidence, extreme greed. And yes, indeed, the electronic circus that the stock market is continues. Equities, by the way, have beaten the performance of bonds by over 7.5% over the last 20 trading days. That's the strongest performance for stocks relative to bonds over the past 2 years. It's also a signal that people are rotating away from bonds into stocks. And I think it's a good time to remember Warren Buffett's classic rule. Be fearful when others are greedy, and be greedy when others are fearful. But never mind that, because this time is different, right? This time is different. Nothing else that's happened in history applies because, well, the stock market is up, 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 up. So caution is warranted. Caution is definitely warranted. And we also see higher money flows into stock mutual funds and ETFs. Another sign of increasing enthusiasm for stocks. These are all cautionary signs. I'm not suggesting you go out and sell every piece of stock that you own. but it is a cautionary stock or a warning sign, especially for new money that you're thinking about putting to work at these levels. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. More when we return. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
So stock market fear is tapering. Greed is back. And we just gave you the readings from the CNN Money Fear and Greed Index, which is now near extreme levels. Just 1 month ago, it was at 15. Today, it's at 80. And the greed level is picking up. It's picking up. It's at extreme levels. Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. That was from Warren Buffett. One of my other favorite quotes is from Maurice Chapelain. He said, "The final delusion is the belief that one has lost all delusions." Isn't that a great quote? I love that one. The final delusion is the belief that one has lost all delusions. And this is what it's all about. The stock market is a game of psychology. And right now the psychology is one of fear of missing out. Fear of missing out on potential gains rather than a fear of losing money, right when it should be the exact opposite. And I tell you this because a fearless stock market is a dangerous place to invest. And we see many readings at extreme levels. We see the VIX, which measures stock market fear. Here in the U.S., the VIX near 52-week lows, not at 52-week lows, but near. And we're going to talk about some of the ambiguities of the VIX and why it's not been at 52-week lows, although we have the U.S. stock market at all-time highs. A couple of things we want to do right now. Let's get into some of your emails. And along with an email, I also want to read a couple of tweets. But let's begin with email. I got a note here from one of our subscribers at etfguide.com, Eric. Dear Ron, do you advise that people trade the income mix portfolio picks in an IRA or a taxable account? I tend to hold my long-term ETFs, like ticker symbol SPY and VNQ, in my brokerage account where I don't trade a lot. Then I trade my more volatile picks and options in my Roth where the gains are not taxed. Selling covered calls and having shares called away could generate a lot of potential taxes. What is the rule of thumb? And again, that was from Eric, one of our subscribers at etfguide.com. Well, first things first, I really appreciate having you as a subscriber and also as a listener, Eric. Now, for long-term investments or what pros refer to as your core portfolio, you would usually not do a covered call strategy. Generally, the covered call strategy is not part of a core or long-term portfolio unless a high monthly income strategy is your singular goal. Long-term investing is usually after one thing, and that's capital growth. Now, selling covered calls will generally fit into the non-core part of a portfolio, which supplements or is built around your core or the foundation. So you can think of it as kind of like a room addition built into your house. That room addition is never the foundation of the structure, nor will it ever be. So think about that in terms of the covered call strategy. It complements your core portfolio. Now, of course, the disadvantages of covered calls, as Eric alludes to, are number one, transaction costs. Number two, getting called away in a rising market. And number three, taxes if executed in a taxable account. So there are some drawbacks. It's not a perfect strategy. It still is a very high-powered, high-income strategy, nevertheless. But the thing about that Eric is talking about, the idea of using the cover call strategy within a tax-deferred retirement account like an IRA or a 401k plan, or if they allow that, is the idea of doing that makes sense because you're reducing the impact of taxable income as it comes in. So, excellent question and excellent observations. I appreciate that very much, Eric. I got a note here from Robert, who's in Murrieta, California. He's a longtime listener. Hi, Ron. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal on taxes in retirement, and I'm currently taking out 1% of my 401k per year. The article said that since you're obligated to take a minimum as determined by the IRS out of your retirement account at age 70 and a half, it's a good idea to take more from the account from years 59 and a half to 70 and a half. I think I need to take out substantially more. What are your thoughts? Well, the bottom line is you make retirement plan withdrawals, Robert, because you need the money, not because you're worried about what'll happen at age 70 and a half if you don't. So that's my answer. Take out money, withdraw funds from your retirement account as you need the money, and focus on your income needs. With that should be your primary focus. And the stuff about what'll happen at age 70 and a half, well, worry about that maybe when you're a couple years away. But that shouldn't be the primary focus or worry. Focus on your income needs. That's what I think you should do. And also, I want to read another tweet that I had from Adam, who sent me a tweet about the VIX. And he says this: the only thing we have to fear is lack of fear. And so that's a very, very apt quote. If you'd like to, by the way, send me a tweet or an email question, send it to ron@indexshow.com. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show and put your first name along with your city, and I will get to it. Now, coming up in just a little bit, we've got Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. He's warming up in the bullpen. We're going to talk about what's going on with the stock market. We're also going to talk about one of the best performing sectors outside of the S&P 500 thus far in 2014. And so that's coming up. Stay tuned for that. Chad and I work together. He handles the technical forecast at ETFGuide.com. Does an outstanding job. And it's updated twice a week. If you have not read it or looked at it or are familiar with it, go to ETFGuide.com and click on the Profit Strategy newsletter, and you'll be able to get it. Chad and I have been working together the past couple of years, and he does a fantastic job. And he looks at all the major asset classes, not just stocks. So he looks at currencies, bonds, gold, and the other areas like commodities. So stay tuned for that. If you'd like to join us, by the way, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, 877-711-5611. And speaking of commodities, Brazil right now is having its worst drought in decades, and it's been decimating crops. Now, commodity prices have remained pretty firm thus far in 2014 relative to stocks. But what's really been sizzling has been futures prices for Arabic coffee beans, which are up 78% thus far this year. Raw sugar is up almost 10%. Soybeans are up over 12%. So the cost of coffee, you coffee drinkers, I mean, I don't think this is good news for us, is it? Coffee prices are going up because of this. Also coming up a little bit later, I want to talk about U.S. debt now at all-time highs. I mean, you want to talk about audacity. Audacity, this borrow and spend, and this idea of spending your way out of debt has really been picking up steam. The Paul Krugman types, which have been promoting this propaganda that that people and the government can spend its way out of debt? I'm going to give you some updates on that nonsense. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Meet Joe Investor. He's nice and he means well, but Joe Investor always misses the really big investment opportunities. For example, Joe Investor missed last year's 16% gain in small company stocks. And the year before that, he missed the 33% gain in long-term U.S. Treasury ETFs. And what about this year? Well, like all the times before, Joe Investor once again is all about lost opportunities and missed chances. Are you always missing out, just like Joe Investor? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you to stay on top of major investment trends so you never miss another big opportunity. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code JOE50. Our monthly newsletter, our weekly picks, and our technical forecast will keep you ahead of the pack. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started. And one more thing. Promise yourself to never, ever miss another big investment opportunity.
Will the stock market sizzle turn into fizzle? I'm pleased to introduce Chad Carnes. He's the chief market strategist at ETFGuide.com. He's my colleague. He does a weekly, bi-weekly technical forecast covering the ETFs linked to stocks, bonds, currencies, and gold. Chad, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me again.
Now, one of the best trades, let's begin with this one that you've put on this year, has been the Spider Gold Shares, ticker symbol GLD, which tracks the price of gold bullion, along with the Gold Miners ETF. That's ticker symbol GDX. Interestingly, you gave the buy alert to ETF Guide subscribers not in 2014, but late last year. Talk about that.
Yeah, Ron. You know, the best time to buy a stock or commodities is when it's been beaten up. And conversely, the best time to sell is when euphoria is high. And I think we all learned that gold and silver, no doubt, in 2011 saw extreme euphoria. I mean, everyone wanted to own it. The Fed, you had the gold kiosks in the malls. You know, every station you turned on television had a sell your gold commercial on it. And then in 2013, we kind of saw the opposite of that. We started to finally see some fear with gold. You had moves of, 5 to 10% down overnight some nights. You had longtime bulls of gold turning into bears. And, these are all measures of sentiment. One of the measures we like to follow for sentiment that's a little more objective instead of subjective is actually provided to us for free by the Futures Trading Commission. And they publish what's called, what we traders like to call the smart money and the dumb money indicator, but in reality, they track what the commercials and the hedgers are doing versus what the speculators are doing. So in December, the commercial hedgers, which are the actual companies that make and produce gold and silver, they were essentially unhedged for the first time in a very, very long time, meaning that they were bullish the price of gold. And on the flip side, the speculators were extremely bearish the price of gold, and so much so that it was the most bearish they had been in over 15 years.
And so the speculators are the dumb money, right?
Yeah, the speculators we like to call the dumb money, and the commercials we like to call the smart money. And, one way you can learn more about this is I wrote an article recently found on our website this last week, actually, that has a chart that we included for our subscribers back in December, on December 20th, that shows where the dumb money was the most bullish and shows where the smart money was the most bullish. And it kind of puts in perspective, gets you on the right side of the trade, which is one of the reasons why we were able to get our subscribers long GLD options in December, which we closed for, over 60% plus gain. And then as well as we got long, as you mentioned, the GDX shares, which we're still in and which are up on paper over 20%, as well as some individual miner stocks that helped us, they're also profitable right now that we're watching in our technical forecast.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuide.com. Now let's talk about the put-call ratio on the S&P 500. I think it's one of those misunderstood indicators. What is it and how do you use it to form an intelligent opinion about the stock market?
Yeah, so the put-call ratio, it shows us what option traders are up to. And it's best used as a contrarian indicator when it reaches extreme levels. So For example, a low put-call ratio means there are more calls being bought than puts and shows that option traders and speculators are generally bullish. Because after all, call options are the ones that go up in value when the market rises, whereas put options, they go up in value when the market falls. So if you have a low put-call ratio, that means you have a lot more calls being bought than you do puts, and therefore you have a lot more bullish people out there than you do bearish. And on the opposite side, a high put-call ratio means that more puts are being bought than calls, and it's a sign of fear in the market. So right now, this indicator, it's around 80% puts to calls, which means there's only 80% the amount of puts being purchased. Or said another way, there's 25% more calls being bought on average than there are puts. And this by itself may not mean much to you, but if you put it in context and look at it through history, and we like to do that by the use of charts, you can actually get a lot of information from this ratio and see that 80% is actually a very low number for this ratio, which shows an extreme kind of bullish lean towards the markets. So what that means to me is that if you look back at history, you see that 80%, it's only been hit, you know, 4 or 5 times in the last 5 years. And most of the time when it reaches this low of a level, it occurs right around a market top. So, for instance, the last time this occurred was January. And what happened in January? We saw a peak in the market and then a 6% pullback. And then now again, we're back at 80% after the market makes new highs. So to me, this is a warning that the market is complacent and that we're probably closer again to a top than a bottom.
Now, in a January article you wrote titled Rough Road Ahead for an Overly Bullish Stock Market, you mentioned a few indicators that were warning of extreme complacency in the stock market. Tell us more.
Yeah, so in that article, one of those indicators is the put-call ratio. So I just discussed how in January, and that article is actually written at the beginning of January, so you can go check for yourself that this put-call ratio was warning us in January before the market peaked. That the put-call ratio was hitting 80%, and that there were some other indicators we were watching, including record margin debt and some sentiment surveys that were warning us of a market that was really complacent. So, for instance, the record margin debt, this shows the amount of equities that are being bought on margin, which is another word for debt. It continues to make all-time record highs. So even above the year 2000 and even above the year 2000 levels, people are buying stocks backed by debt. So this too is a contrarian sign, I think, that means, you know, everyone is all in equities. They're willing to risk leverage to buy them like never before. And this just shows a lack of respect for a market pullback. And typically when this indicator gets this high, as it did in the year 2000, as it did in the year 2007, you know, it makes the market very susceptible for a major market top.
That, by the way, too, in 1929, correct me if I'm wrong, that was one of the major reasons for the stock market collapse, was people over-borrowed, they over-leveraged money to buy stocks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no different than 2008, too. It's just a kind of a different thing. I mean, this was also around in 2008 as a very big warning sign. But in 2008, you know, the banks were all leveraged, and the banks were all margined up with all the derivatives. And this is just kind of a derivative of a derivative, if you will. It's just another sign that the market's gotten extremely complacent and extremely bullish. And, you know, that can continue, but what it does show is that once the music stops, you know, all these people will have to sell, and they'll have to sell quickly and likely at prices that they don't like.
Chad Carnes, Chief Market Strategist at ETFGuy.com, joining us. Go there. He does the biweekly technical forecast covering the ETFs linked to stocks, bonds, currencies, and gold. The idea is to keep you on the right side of the market. Now, what about this non-confirming pattern? The U.S. stock market at all-time highs, yet we've got the VIX, which has not been making all-time lows. What's the significance of this?
Yeah, so the VIX measures the volatility of markets. And, you know, a lot of people call the VIX the fear gauge, but it can also, you know, be used as a greed gauge as well. So it kind of fluctuates between fear and greed. And typically when the VIX is low, the markets are up, and when the VIX is high, the markets are down. So to me right now, when the VIX is not making new lows, but the market is making new all-time highs, it's a warning sign. You know, typically you would want to see the VIX confirm the market, or, you know, the market confirm the VIX. And right now, with the VIX not making a new low, it's not confirming the market. So there's been a few times in the past 2 years when this has occurred, and the VIX has actually led the market in a market top. It's kind of warned of a market top. And right now, I feel like that's occurring with the VIX. The VIX is sitting around 14, and the market's, you know, making new all-time highs, where traditionally the last 2 years, the VIX has fallen to around 12 whenever the market had made a new all-time high. So right now, the VIX is showing strength when it probably shouldn't be, and that to me is a warning sign, and I think people need to look into that a little more. If you go to our website, etfguide.com, and you go to the search tab, you type in VIX, you'll see an article or two that I've written about the VIX that kind of talks about this in more detail, including a 2 month pattern on the VIX that I like to trade when it gets, you know, down around 13.
One last thing before you take off, and we'll have to make this quick, like 30 seconds, is you've talked, and I have talked about the trading volume and the significance of a lack of conviction behind this particular bull market move compared to previous bull markets. Trading volume isn't there. Just tell us quickly about the significance of that.
Yeah, from a technical analyst standpoint, volume precedes price. And what that means is typically that in order to move the markets higher, you need to have volume stepping in. And the reason volume is so important is because the big money requires volume. If you're just a small trader trading a few hundred thousand dollars, you know, a couple hundred shares or something. But if you have millions and even billions of dollars, in order to buy and sell stocks, you have to buy, you know, hundreds and thousands of shares of stock. And something that's a concern for most technical analysts right now is that since the 2011 and some would say 2012 market tops, volume has been flat to declining, which basically means that the big money probably is not chasing this market near as much as it was in 2009 and 2010. And to me, that's just another warning sign that, you know, this market is not being supported by the bigger money, and likely means that, you know, it just makes it more susceptible for a bigger top.
Chad, we're going to have to leave it there. Great job. Go to ETFguide.com. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
All right, welcome back. 877-711-5611. That is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. We're just coming off a great interview there with Chad Carnes at etfguide.com. He does a technical forecast. And we talked about a lot of good things in that interview. We talked about the low put-call ratio. The put-call ratio is a contrarian indicator, and as Chad mentioned there, when it's low like it is right now, that means more call options are being bought, and right now, the exact number is 25%. 25% more calls being bought versus puts, and that is a very, very bullish scenario, but it's also a cautionary sign that there is too much bullishness, over bullishness, or what we call in technical terms bullish extremes. So that was one of the things that he used in January, actually as a tip off of that mini sell off that we had in January. So will we get a repeat scenario of that? Well, if you take a look at the put call ratio, we're very, very much poised for that sort of sharp correction ahead. And of course, the thing that you need to remember about indicators and extremes is that they can also become more extreme. Greedy can become greedier. And we've seen that consistently. So just because it's at extreme levels doesn't mean it won't get more extreme. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. And also want to mention that you can listen to the extended version of my interview with Chad. We had a couple more questions on that interview that you can listen to at my podcast. Just go to indexshow.com and click on the podcast, and you can listen to the full interview and catch some of the other things that we covered in that particular interview. Now, I got a tweet from a financial advisor by the name of Ken. He's in New Jersey. And he and I have been going back and forth about emerging market stocks, particularly Russian stocks, which he thinks are an absolute bargain. Now, ticker symbol RSX is the ETF that tracks Russian stocks. RSX. Over the past 3 years, it's been a miserable performer. It's down around 15.5% over the past 3 years, and he views this as a buying opportunity. Whereas I have viewed Russia very, very much in a bearish light, particularly some of the things that are happening there right now with the political conflict that is on the verge of escalating into war between Russia and Ukraine. And one of the problems I see for Russia, besides the fact that they're on the verge of war, is the fact that the political sanctions that they're about to the countries around the world are about to put on Russia, and what type of impact that could potentially have in a very negative way on the Russian economy. I mean, I don't see that by any measure as something that is bullish. So I don't really care by how poorly Russian stocks have performed over the past 3 years, just because they're down 15% and are among the cheapest of all equity markets in the world. Well, there's a reason they're cheap. They're cheap because they're cheap. And you buy cheap, you get cheap. And with Russian stocks, I would rather see even cheaper valuations than what I see right now. And so I completely disagree with Ken. He sent me a link to Meb Faber research showing what happens when you buy assets that are down 80%. Which is interesting because, well, this doesn't describe Russian stocks. Russian stocks aren't down 80%. They're down 15% over the past 3 years. On a year-to-date basis, they've fallen 20%. So they still have a lot more downside to go. But the research from Meb Faber, very good research, by the way, shows that when you buy assets that have been beaten down 80%, what is the annualized returns over the next 3 years when that happens? When you buy, let's just apply this to a country, since we're talking countries here, Russian stocks. When you buy a country stock market that has been beaten down 80%, here's the three-year nominal returns of a country, according to Meb Faber research. What happens? This is since the 1970s. What happens is you've got a 60% chance of at least a 100% return. You've got a 70% chance of a 115% return. You've got an 80% chance of a 118% return, and you've got a 90% chance of a 156% return when buying a country stock market that has been beaten down 80%. So, that currently does not describe Russia just yet. Russia hasn't been beaten down 80%, Ken. So I would say hold your horses. Be patient. Be patient and wait for lower valuations, because the way Russian stocks are heading, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. So I would say that's the case in general for emerging markets, especially the BRICS. That's Brazil, India, China, along with Russia. I think we're going to see much, much lower valuations, because war isn't the only problem for emerging market stocks. We've also got China on the verge of a major, major credit event. So, again, don't buy into the propaganda that, oh, it's just a flesh wound. Oh, this is something that's just been overblown. Well, it hasn't been overblown. China's credit event hasn't even begun, quite frankly. It hasn't even started. So why jump the gun? Be patient and wait for a better buying opportunity for long-term money. For you bears, this is a great opportunity, I think, to look at some of these inverse performing ETFs that are designed to go up in value when emerging market stocks decline. Ticker symbol RUSS aims for triple daily opposite performance to Russian stocks. That particular ETF has been extremely volatile all over the place. But that one, I think, if Russian stocks really, really begin to crater, I think you're going to see more life in RUSS. So far, since the beginning of the year, RUSS has gained 75% in value. Now, you're going to have a lot of volatility, but nevertheless, I think the odds still favor more downside in Russian stocks along with the rest of emerging market stocks. Let's talk about another thing that's been hitting all-time highs. It's not just S&P 500 and Russell 2000. We've also got U.S. debt, national debt, public debt at record levels. $17.41 trillion is the latest numbers from the U.S. Treasury Department's daily statement. Now, that's almost $1 trillion over last year's debt ceiling of $16.69 trillion. So we're $1 trillion more in debt than the previous year. And the public's total debt load, hate to break it to you, will continue to climb thanks to the suspension of the U.S. government's borrowing limit until next March. At the current pace of overspending, U.S. debt should top $18 trillion within 19 months, or within 9 months. So $18 trillion in 9 months, that should be a cinch. And despite the bull market and rising debt, we've seen the bond market remaining quite calm. The bond market has yet to panic because yields have actually been moving down. We've got the 10-year yield on treasuries declining around 11% since the beginning of the year and hovering around 2.7%. We've also seen the same thing happen with the 30-year long-term treasuries, which has quietly moved lower around 8% to a yield of 3.62%. So treasuries, U.S. treasuries, at least for now, have been temporarily benefiting from capital or money fleeing away from emerging markets and other types of risk on assets. So this is what's been helping the treasury market. It's not that fundamentals have changed. It's not that the debt situation is improving. It's just a matter of there's money that's scared of what's happening in emerging markets, and it's fleeing into treasuries. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Be sure to join us again next week. Listen to the full interview, my full interview with Chad Carnes. Go to indexshow.com. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.